Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love, Connection, Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you join us today as we invite you into our place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment? We'll have song, scripture, and prayer. Sounds like we've got Brother Mark Bryan on the line who will give us a song. Dr. Nooks, if you would read the scripture. And Brother Bryan, what scripture would you like to have read tonight?
Actually, we're going to have another guest speaker, and that's going to be Pastor.
Excuse me? I'm asking about the text. Who's going to read the text for Bible study? Is it Deuteronomy? Okay, the Deuteronomy text.
I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8.
2 Timothy 1, 4 through
2 8. 2 Timothy 4, and then 1 through 8.
2 Timothy 4,
1 through 8. 4, 1 through 8. And then, Dr. Nooks, if you would please offer the prayer, we'll be good to go. Song, scripture, and prayer. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us at Your Place, Love Connection Church. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules, whether you're in the city of Indianapolis, the state, or around the country. Thank you for joining us where God is exalted and the word is explained. Today we'll start off with song, scripture, and then prayer. Today's song will be "To God Be the Glory." How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hoped to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And with his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me bear my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood, he has saved me, and with his power, he has raised me to God be the glory for the things, for the things, for the things he has done.
For tonight's scripture, we're going to be reading the words of Jesus Christ from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." That is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4.
Amen. God, we come before you tonight. We're so grateful for the opportunity to study your word and to praise your name. And God, we ask you to help us as we study the word and try to understand how we need you in hard times. Help us, God, to learn from your word, from your spirit, and from each other. And God, we ask that you would bless the teacher in a special way, that they would be used and anointed by you in such a way that those of us that are on the Bible study tonight and those that will listen in will gain a blessing. We need you, God. We reach out to you. Our strength runs out, but yours does not. Our wisdom is limited, but yours is not. Teach us, God. We have our minds and our hearts open to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Susie? Well,
okay.
Tonight.
I'm sorry. I was talking. I guess you couldn't hear me. I just wanted to thank everybody. I wanted to thank Dr. Nooks for the prayer. I wanted to thank Brother Carver for the scripture and Brother Mark for the song. What a wonderful song. We want to thank everybody tonight for joining us to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And this is an awesome month. This month's instruction was by Mark Bryant, and we focused on how to handle hard times with faith. The first week's lesson was, why should we operate in faith during hard times? The second week's lesson, we talked about actively waiting on God. And the third week, we talked about trust that God has a plan for us during hard times. And this week, we're talking about placing your hope in the Lord. And so Brother Mark has assistance with Brother Carver tonight, who's going to, I'm assuming, you're going to help lead the Bible study with Brother Mark. Is that right, Brother Carver?
Yes, ma'am.
Or is Brother Mark gone? Okay, and we'll be looking at, is it still the scripture that we have written down, or has that changed?
You know, we're going to be looking at the scripture we have written down plus the one that we just read.
Awesome. So we'll be looking at Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, as well as John 14, 1 through 14. So if you guys are excited and ready, these are two power preachers, teachers of the Word of God. They will have us excited as we look at this week and next week, which we'll be closing out. Brother Mark will be closing us out with our final lesson for the month of May, and we're going to have an awesome time in the Lord tonight. So Brother Carver and Brother Bryant, if you are ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
The subject, placing your hope in Jesus, is going to bless everyone because
Amen.
The hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returning at any moment is what drives us to live a life that seeks the presence of God at all times, because when Jesus Christ returns, we want to be found. We want to be found doing the work of the Lord. We want to be found pleasing
Amen.
God. We want to be found trusting God. We want to be found serving God. We want to be found operating in absolute faith, and that is the only way I want to be found. So I want
Amen.
Someone to volunteer to read the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Is there anyone who is interested? And then if someone else could find 2 Timothy, verse 4.
Brother Carver, we could start off with a roll call. If we could start off with a roll call so we know who we got here to work with.
Good idea.
This is Mark.
We got you, Brother Carter. Carter, Brother Carter, Brother James, myself,
yes.
Anybody else on the line that wants to talk tonight? Who else?
This is Mark.
And Brother Mark and yourself. Right now, I think that's who we got to start with, Brother Lester.
Awesome, awesome. Well, if anyone would like to read Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, that would be awesome.
I have it. If you'd like.
Outstanding.
I can read it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going.
Well, Dr. Nooks, please expound.
Well, Jesus, near the end of his earthly walk, let the disciples know that there was a better day coming. And he inspired them and let them know that if they trust in God, that they didn't need to worry about their hearts being troubled there, because their hope was in something beyond where they were, and that he was going to come back for them, and he'd already prepared a place for them. And this is good news for all of us, because God has already prepared a place for us. This is a scripture that we read often when people are in trouble, often when they're near the end of life. It's encouraging to know that we've got a Savior that has already prepared a wonderful place for us beyond here, beyond our troubles, beyond our disappointments, beyond our heartaches. So this is an encouraging word to all those that believe in Christ.
Well, isn't that awesome, too, when we talk about placing our hope in Jesus, that the world laughs at us. Say, you can't get anything better here now. So you're praying for something better later that is in your imaginary life, right? What do you all think about that?
Well, Brother Teacher, this is James. I wanted to comment some more on that, because this is our culture right now is such a right now, instant, microwave, everything right now culture. And it's hard for us to imagine a time beyond today. And I find talking with a lot of young people that this is an issue with them, is that they don't have much hope in tomorrow because they don't even think about tomorrow. They're right now. This is a device from Satan to get our minds focused only on right now. And then when we wind up and we live a little while and look back on when we were 20, and we think, oh, Lord, if I would have just known that, you know, that this was going to be the outcome of what I did then, And if I had just thought about what I'm going to be doing 20 years from now, I would live my life differently. So Satan devises a plan to get us to only think about today, and therefore we only live for today. You know, it's like the person, you know, that built the, you know, says let's eat and drink and be merry. You know, for tomorrow may never come, and then when tomorrow comes, you're not ready for it. So,
amen.
I mean, this is an important message for us today.
Tell me, is there someone here who can read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? Because it's directly connected with what Dr. Noakes just said. And it's amazing how God knew this day was coming before it came, right? But what Dr. Noakes is describing was recorded in the scripture thousands of years ago. And now we're reading it. And that time is here, right? So someone read, anyone, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, so we can see what God has to say about what Dr. Noakes just described.
I have it.
And this is why people have no hope. This is why people are walking around hopeless, because the time that Dr. Noakes just described is here, and the Word of God says is going to come and describes what we're going through. So whoever wants to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'd really appreciate it.
I've got it. No one else has it. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. This is out of the NIV version, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people.
Please expound.
You know, this scripture speaks of, it's a mirror of today. When you look at how people truly have gone, they've gone looking for everything but Christ. They have chosen not to see Christ and what Christ can do for them or the importance of Christ. And so they have become lovers of themselves and not truly recognizing who God is in their lives.
You know, I have a question, and this is for anybody on the line. Actually, it's for everybody on the line. My question is, for those who aren't placing their hope in Jesus Christ, who are basically being described in this passage here that Mark just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. My question is, what types of things do people place their hope in who are not placing their hope in Jesus Christ? Anybody?
Well, this is James. They place their hope in a job, in money, in a car, in a career, in their family, their children, place their hope in a government, and you know things are going to be better. I mean, they place hope in their education, all kinds of different things. Other people.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else?
They place hope in.
I mean,
they place hope in the religiosity of church and not in their relationship with God.
Amen. And you know what? You could add to that, placing your hope in medical professionals, placing your hope in a legal system, placing your hope in an insurance system, placing your hope in. Goodness, can you imagine all of the attention, placing your hope in the lottery, for God's sake? You know, all of people's attention that should be going toward God, especially Christians, is being siphoned off and focused on things that are of no value to you, no impact to you, not in comparison to what God has to provide. And, you know, what we read in the first scripture, or the second one rather, that was speaking about those who, no, we just read it. It said, those who have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, right? See, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to heal, that allows you to perform miracles. Yes, ma'am.
Brother Lef, I would like to read that text in a different translation.
I would love
to hear it.
It
says, don't be naive.
Read on.
This is from the Message. It says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead as the end approaches. People are going to be self-absorbed. Hello. Money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, allergic to God. Well, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Lord, have mercy.
And you know what? Actually, that ties in perfectly to the next passage. If you can read it from the Message, it would be so powerful. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, if you could get that and read that from the Message, it would be awesome.
2 Timothy chapter 4, here it is.
Verses 1
it says,
through 8.
Mm-hmm. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Lord have mercy. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He's about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching. Well, hallelujah. But will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job at God's servant. Go through six, through, which one, six? Through how far?
The eight.
Kurt, you take over. I'm about to die. My life and offering on God's altar. This is the only race worth running. I run hard, right to the finish. Believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting. Come on, somebody. God's applause. Depend on it. He's an honest judge. He'll do it right, not only by me, but by everyone eager for his coming. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I'm gonna read that last verse from the King James Version. And it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So what this is speaking of is this crown of righteousness, so that those whose hope is in the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will receive an eternal crown of righteousness that will be with them as their reward for righteousness, because you lived looking for the return of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for the return of Jesus Christ, you're living like he can come at any moment. That's why it's called a crown of righteousness, right? When he comes, you want to be found doing what he wants you to be doing, right? Not something else.
So
part of placing our hope in the return of Jesus Christ is in focusing on pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and operating in absolute faith, so that we're so busy doing what God needs done, we're not distracted with all this nonsense that is of little importance or gain to our life. So what are some of the kinds of things that can keep your hope alive, can keep you focused? What do some of you all do in order to keep yourselves busy for God?
Well, I'd like to talk, this is Dr. Susie, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to talk about the scripture just before that, if you don't mind. And
yes,
reason
ma'am.
Why
oh, please,
it jumped
John,
out
sorry.
At me is because as I was looking at the scripture, it talks about the time when, you know, at the end we will be judged at the Bema Seat and we have to stand according to what we've done in our bodies. But it says you're going to find there'll be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching. I'm telling you, that time is now. I pastored a church in which I served every Sunday, and they wanted to let me go because they said I preached too much Bible. I'm telling you, they didn't have a stomach for the word. I didn't sugarcoat it, didn't fix it. I just preached the word. I read the
Amen.
Word. They had problems
Amen.
With the word. They didn't even want
Amen.
The word
they
in
do.
Bible study.
They- Yes, they do.
So,
and that's why. That's why. Right.
Go
that's
ahead.
Why we need to really encourage one another, not to buy the latest book, not to follow the latest fad, not to follow the latest TV evangelist. Not that those things are bad, right? But your individual daily Bible study, you reading the Word, there will be people who will tell you that reading the word is of no benefit to you, and they're lying to you, because the word, the Holy Spirit can direct you to what he needs you to know at that moment, which will bless you, which will strengthen you, which will encourage you, which will prepare you. But not if you don't avail yourself, not if you don't make yourself available to regular study of the word. And people are like, oh, my life is so busy. What can I do? How can I fit Bible study in my busy life? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's very embarrassing, and people say, oh, don't you ever tell anybody that. But this is the truth, humble truth, is maybe 25 years ago, I was struggling with that. How do I fit daily Bible study into everything I have with my business and six kids and my wife and my house and all this stuff? And God said, look, you're going to be in the bathroom every day doing certain things every day. Where you have your magazines, take those magazines out and put your Bible there and read. And I did. I started reading. And my growth was exponential, right? And now that sounds silly, right? That's real. It's not fancy. It's not sugar-coated. It's not like something that's going to blow your mind. That's just practical reality. You are going to be in a certain place for a certain amount of time every day. Put your Bible there and read it. And that's just coming from me. That's one of the things I do to keep my hope alive, right? What do you do to keep your hope alive?
But Brother Lester, can you hear me, Brother Lester?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I hear you.
The ways in which we keep our hope alive is that we're obedient to the teaching, that we understand that it's God that is the judge, it is God who is the one who leads, guides, and directs. And we have to understand that the word is what sustains us. It's the food that we eat that nourishes us. And it says that we need to be careful not to fill up on spiritual junk food. And I think people don't realize you can find spiritual junk food. If it's stuff you wanna hear, if your ears are itching and you struggle with what the word says and challenges you to do something, you're looking for a spiritual fix. But God has something for you where your strength is, and that's where your hope should be, in learning so that you can be grounded, to be steadfast and unmovable. That's our hope, is in knowing the word. Our hope is in having the relationship. Our hope is what keeps us steadfast and unmovable, because we're holding on to God, and God has and God has an unchanging hand. And so
Amen.
We can hold on to God, we're all right.
This is
Amen.
James.
Go ahead, brother.
This is James. Yeah, I want to talk about hope for a bit, and then I want to talk about this text for a bit. I keep my hope alive through the word, but also through taking time to talk to God.
Amen.
Pray, men to be observant of what God is doing. This is important because sometimes we don't take the time to see what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of other people. We can take it for granted. We can assume that it came from somewhere else. But if you don't take time to talk to God every now and then, then this gets to what Dr. Susie was talking about as far as the relationship is concerned. But sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just talk to God. This has to do with prayer, but it also it's more than prayer with me. It's taking the song to have a little talk with Jesus, you know. And the hope comes is when you see God's hand in your life and in the life of other people, then your faith and your hope is increased because you see God actually work. And you experience God in your life, and your life is changed, and then your hope grows. But I
Amen.
Want to talk about this following their desires. And be careful, my friends, my sisters and my brothers that are listening in, that you do not get caught up in an emotional fix. Understand God's word. There are preachers that can stir you up emotionally and make you feel like you've done something or you've experienced something, and you walk away and somebody asks you what you learned and you say, I don't know, but I sure do feel good. God's word will inspire you. It will change you. It will teach you. And be careful when people are just there to make, it talks about itchy ears, people wanting to hear what they want. People have words and phrases that they can say that will stir up your emotion, and they
Amen.
Use them. And preachers get real good at this, some of them. Be careful and listen to preachers that are preaching the word and preachers that are trying to relay God. And it's not just to make you feel good, but God's word ought to cut you sometime. God's word ought to touch you sometime. It's not just a good feeling that you ought to go away from hearing God's word, or even talking with the people of God. It doesn't have to be a sermon, but just a talk with people sometimes can make a difference in your life. But be careful of the emotional fix.
Amen. Now, what I'm going to share with you now is a scripture that is going to bless you. It is something that is going to not cut you. This one's not going to cut you. There's one coming up that's going to cut you. This one is going to soothe you, right? It's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him and woman purifies himself, herself, even as he is pure. So, what is it that you see here that God is saying to us that we should be excited about?
We're going to be like Jesus.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
We're going
to
be changed.
That's something to
Amen.
Look forward to, right? That's something to
Amen.
Look forward to. That and
Amen.
And you know what? To everything that's going to cut us in these next few verses, that hope is enough to allow us to strengthen ourselves, to gird ourselves up, to get ready for something better than whatever it is we're looking at today, right? Does somebody want to read Titus chapter 2, verse 13?
Yeah.
Please do, sir.
I have it. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed.
Amen. So that is our hope. That's what we look forward to, right?
Amen. Brother Teacher,
Amen.
I just want to stop for a minute. If you are not looking for Jesus appearing, then you need to ask yourself about your faith. I want to back up a little bit. Many of us go to church. Many of us say we're Christians, and we go through motions. But if we are really believing in Christ, then we ought to be looking for his appearing. He's coming back.
Amen.
But many of us don't even we don't even think about it.
Well, you know
Christ
what?
Is coming back.
And part of that is because we are not at work. See, remember, it's Christ, it's God in Christ and Christ in you reconciling the world back to God, right? So just like when Jesus Christ was on earth and God was in Christ reconciling the world back to God, right, that is bringing mankind back from where he is lost to his rightful place dwelling with God, right? Our job is bringing those who are lost back into that right place of dwelling with God now so that they could dwell with God in eternity, right? But if we're not doing that work intentionally, then chances are we're distracted with something else, and we're focused on something else, and whatever we're focused on is directly connected to what we're doing, right? So someone once said, and this isn't in the Bible, this is just something somebody said, that if you want to see where somebody's priorities are, look at their bank statement, look at their checkbook, right? See where their money's going. And you can see where their time is going and their attention, all the rest of that. And I'm not concerned about looking at somebody else's checkbook or bank statement. I want to look at my own. I want to see what's important to me. I want to see if God's priorities or the things I'm talking about are matching up with what I'm doing, because that is amazing. Mm-hmm. It'll let
and
me
Brother
know
Lester,
if I'm real or if I'm fake. Go ahead.
They also say it's where you invest your time. You know, where you spend your time is where your value system is as well. We go to work because we want money. We spend most of our time at work. So, but where do we spend it after that? You know, what do we do? And how much time do we sit in front of the TV? That's what we're investing in these days. Is in the empire. We're investing in, what's that other television shows? But in reality, we care more about that than we do being in relationship with God and reading the Word. You know, people have Bibles in their houses and they got dust covered all over them because they're not picking them up, you know, or on their apps on their phones. They're not using them. But the point is this, they'll do everything else. And God is way down on the list. Except for Sunday morning when they get ready to go to church. And then when they get to church, how are you going to say you got a relationship with somebody you don't ever talk to? I mean, you can't tell me, Brother Lester, that if you was going to be my husband, that you going to tell me I see you on Sunday and you say hi to me Sunday for an hour and you think I'm going to think we got some sort of relationship going on? I don't think so. That will not work. It will not work.
True, true. And you know what? There are so many ways to communicate, too, right? It's like I can call you on the phone. I can send you an email. I can send you a text. I can Facebook you, right? I can send you a letter. I can go see you in person, face-to-face. And it's the same way with God. People want to limit talking to God to one thing. But the fact is we can pray to God, pray in tongues to God. We can sing in tongues to God. We can communicate to God in many different ways. Yes. Yeah, we can
sing
hymns.
We can do Bible study.
We can sing the word. They used to sing the Torah. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons the Jewish people sing the Torah, right, is because when you sing, you are activating both sides of your brain at once. It is the one activity. Singing is the one, and music is the one activity that activates both your left hemisphere and the right hemisphere in your brain. So when people are talking about worshiping God with your whole mind and your whole soul and your whole heart, right? When you're singing the word, you're doing that. And that's real. That's actual, right? And I think one of the things we miss with this whole Bible study thing or teaching thing is people don't realize how
much benefit is in the scripture? How many promises are there to them? How many real beneficial things that can improve the quality of their life are right here in the book? It says everything that pertains to life and godliness is in the Bible. So everything from your sex to your money is in this book. And if people don't make themselves available to study the Word of God, then it's like working your car without reading the operator's manual, or working your using your computer without ever having read your operator's manual. And many people haven't. You know, we just pick stuff up and start using it. And that's how people are living. And God is telling you, no, pick up the book and figure out how our Creator designed us to live a more than abundant life. And that more than abundant life is physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, and financial. So that each one of those categories represents 20% of the more than abundant life. So if you had all of your financial needs met, you would still have 80% of your life to deal with, right? So financial, spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical needs is the more than abundant life, and that is going to yield benefits to you now and in eternity. So that's why we're encouraging you to study the Word. Anyone else? Anyone else here? I need somebody to prepare to read this next passage. And how did I get lost? All right. I'm sorry. This next passage that I really wanted somebody to take a look at is here in Luke 21:25-28. Anybody want to take a look at that? Or
okay.
Okay.
Any version do you want read?
Any version will do.
Dr. Susie, do you have
it? It's such a short version. We can probably do it in two.
Yeah, Luke 21:25-28.
Okay. Yeah, I can start off by reading it through the mm-hmm. message. The message says, it would seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar. And everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style. A glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. Ha! There's your hope.
Amen. Now, Dr. Nooks, if you could read it also, that would be great. Same thing.
This is the NIV version.
Yes.
It says that there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At the time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near.
Amen.
Now, see, if your hope, any of the things that we mentioned earlier that are not looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, right? So if your hope is in your payday or your spouse or your net worth or your career or all the other things we lean on. And then you read this verse here that says it's all going to be burned up and then Jesus Christ is coming back, right? You want Jesus Christ to come back? Really? Right? You spent all your energy on nothing and it's about to get burned up. But if your hope is in Jesus Christ's return and you see all this stuff about to happen, you're like, the next thing that's happening is my Lord and Savior's come back and I'm going to be like him, right? So then the question is, Do you believe what you just read? Anybody want to comment on that?
I would, but I don't know if I'm commenting on what it is you want to talk about. What I wanted to talk about in relation to this passage, it says, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring sea and strange tides. I mean, we've been having some strange stuff happen on the earth with our ecology, with global warming, all these changes in the earth. Everything's in turmoil. We've had tsunamis. We've had all of these things happening. We've got fracking occurring in places that we got earthquake in places that there weren't before or haven't been. We've got all of these changes, and we're not recognizing where we are today. And it says people will then be terrified at what they see coming on the earth, for the powers in the heavens are going to be shaken because they're going to see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power. We need to understand that we are near, I believe, this is my perspective, you know, the signs of the times are coming. We have moved further in towards revelation than I think we have ever been in a long time, and we aren't recognizing it. We aren't seeing that that the earth in itself is moaning and groaning. And I think we need to be aware that all of creation is yearning for Christ's return. And and that's a point I wanted to bring up as we look at the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth and see how it's crying out.
Amen. Anybody else?
Amen. Well, this is, I think, a good message for those that lack hope, or those that have hope. Those that have hope in Christ Jesus, this is a great message. And those that don't, perhaps this is a message for them to be aware of. Is that Christ is coming back, and there are going to be, I mean, it's going to be natural phenomena that are going to happen when he descends on from heaven on, in a cloud. And those of us that are believers, we should stand up and look. And this is a great time for us, because our salvation is drawing nigh or near.
Amen.
I mean, those of us that are in Christ should say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last message in Revelation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. For those that are not in Christ, this is not going to be a good time. Depending on what you believe in the millennial period, but there will be a time of great suffering and wars and death. But for those of us who believe, if you believe in the rapture, you know, when Christ comes, we're going to go back with him. But those of us that believe in Christ, this is a message that we need to hear, and we need to say, and need to understand and repeat that God, Christ is coming back. And that's a great message of hope for us.
Amen. I wanted to reiterate that and support what you're saying, Brother James. It says, so when all these things began to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. When it talks about lifting up your head, it's talking about rejoicing. When it talks about understanding that your redemption is near, it's talking about because the king is returning. You know, we get off into movies. When the children saw the lion, the rich, the witch, and the wardrobe, and Aslan was returning, everybody was excited. Everybody was rejoicing. Everybody had hope. And this is the hope. Aslan is the king. The king is returning. And when the king returns, everything will be put right. That is the hope. That is the trust in which we put all of this, because it's at that point in time, everything we've been struggling for, everything we've been sacrificing for, everything that's really been of value, and that's why we need to understand that what we do in our bodies count. You know, if our focus is just on what we're doing on our job and getting paid, but it's not building up kingdom points. It's not serving anybody else. It's not helping the poor. It's not working to make this world a better place. And all you're doing is self-glorification, self-edification. What you do in this body counts. And so we need to be understanding that when we have that relationship with God, that's the priority. And that priority of having relationship gives us hope. And as we have that relationship, we're all about helping others and making this world a better place. Lift up
Amen.
Your head. That's where the hope
Amen.
Is.
Amen. Susie, that was what I had for tonight. And I hope that that was a blessing to anyone who wanted
Amen.
To know what you should be focused on, because all this other stuff is a distraction to your more than abundant life, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and financially.
So I get a question. My question as we close is, we have one more week in the month of May, and Brother Mark, you have something prepared for next week. Is there a theme? That Brother Lester, are you all doing it again next week together?
No, I'll be doing it next week. Unless Brother Carver would love to do it next week, I'll be more than happy
well,
to.
Well, awesome, Brother Mark. We're not going to keep Brother Lester has his own time
I
when
was
he's doing
hitting.
It. He just helps you out. But anyway, as we close, I'd like everybody, it was an awesome lesson, Brother Carver. If everybody could go around and give one thing that they got out of tonight's lesson so that it could sum up things for our listeners, those who came in late and those who were not able to hear all of the Bible study. So I'm going to start with Brother Mark. Would you please give us, and Lester, I'm going to ask you to be last. Brother Mark, if you would give a summation of what jumped out and that you would like to share with our listeners for tonight.
I think this is Mark. What jumped out to me or what is a consensus for me
Take home.
Is that – can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. What the consensus for me is that it's almost like that song is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. When we place our faith in anything but Christ, we will lose. And so, you know, what I've got out of this lesson is that I must always put my faith and trust in Christ if I want to live or to have anything, and especially salvation.
Amen. Brother Eric, I see you on the line. Did you have something you wanted to say?
If just trust in the Lord and don't be fearful for the things that you see and hear, because God is at the end of it is still in control. And if you have a relationship and follow Him, then you'll be fine, no matter what the circumstances.
Amen, amen, Brother Nooks.
Yeah, just wanted to share this quick scripture, Romans 13:11 through 12. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. And I would just encourage those that are listening in to really start talking with God and paying attention to what is said and seek God and understand where your hope is coming from. It's coming from Christ.
Amen. I don't know if you can respond, Brother Carter. I know you at work. If there's anything you'd like to say, if not, we'll go on to the next person.
What I can say is, let's go, let's go, let's go.
All right, all right, all right. And we got somebody at the 638-4799 if you want to talk tonight. if you have one thing you'd like to share. If not, we'll go to the next person. Jump in there if you do. All right, then, Brother Carr. Brother Carver, you can close that. Oh, I get to say something. This, to me, was a phenomenal, phenomenal lesson. It was a phenomenal lesson. And as always, Brother Lester Carver has done a wonderful job along with Brother Mark. Excellent job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What jumps out for me is I can't help but think about the time when I will, when Christ will come back for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That after all I've done, all the sacrifice, all the toil, all the struggle, all the service I've given, I shall see his face. Thank you, Jesus. And I will be able to rest on his breast. I'm just so excited that the day is coming nigh when Christ will return. And when that's hope for me. That's my hope. That's my joy. That's my desire, is that when I run this race, my reward, hallelujah, with that I see his face. Brother Carver.
Well, I'll tell you, when we talk about placing our hope in Jesus Christ, right, the thing that sticks with me is John 14:1, where it said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus Christ speaking. And then when it speaks about how we're going to have a crown of righteousness waiting for us because we love the idea of the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that. We long for that, right? Those things are powerful, and that sticks with me from tonight.
Amen. Brother Eric, you feel good enough to close us in prayer tonight?
Yeah, I could do that.
All right. Would you close us?
Gracious Father, we, the humble servants, come before you with all that we are and all that we have, Father. We lay them at that throne this evening, Lord. For our hope rests in your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life on Calvary's cross. Jesus, born of the Virgin, your only begotten Son, who willingly submitted to death as ordered by Pilate. But he didn't stay in the cross, and he didn't stay in the grave that they placed him in. For on the first day of the week, he arose with all power, defeating Satan, sin, death, and the grave. And he ascended into heaven to be an advocate for us, Father. And we who are here, Father, thank you for that. For we know that we are nothing but filthy rags, and we have all come short of the glory that you have. But in Christ Jesus is our hope, that we should not be separated from you forever. Lord, I don't take that for granted. And I know that the ones on this line don't take that for granted. Because we find it not robbery to come and study your word, Father, so that we can be more like you called us to be, so that we can read your word to get our basic instructions before leaving this earth. And it helps us to help those who have no hope. So my prayer this evening, Father, is that those of us who do have hope, that you would give a double portion that we could share with those around us, that we could minister to those who have no hope, Father, and that they may see your precious Son through us and the way that we talk, act, and the things that we are able to communicate, Father, knowing that you haven't asked us to bring anybody to you. You just want us to tell the story of how we overcame in Christ Jesus, and that through Christ Jesus we have opportunity. We know that we're still not perfect, Father. We know that we're going to have issues and problems, but we know that our advocate is just and righteous, and we know that you love your advocate. And the word tells us that if Christ is in you, and then Christ be in us, and we be in Christ, but then we be in you as well, Father. So help those who don't quite understand that to do so, Father. But you bless the needs of those that are listening, for I know not what they do. You guide and direct them in all that they need. You bring your glory upon earth.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Amen.
Amen.